You're listening to the Park Avenue United Methodist Church podcast. This sermon was delivered by our pastor, Reverend David Gilmore, during a recent worship service in New York City. We invite you to listen with an open heart.
So I know a lot of y'all don't remember this. There was a gentleman who sang this song years and years and years ago named Engelbert Humperdinck. See, I got blank stares. And I actually was in the El Paso Boys Choir and sang this song in background, and as in the background for this song. It just, you know, kind of takes me back. Anyway, Engelbert Humperdinck. Please repeat after me. There is a word from God today. And it's for me. Will you pray with me and pray for me, O God? I pause thanking you for one more opportunity to proclaim your word. And I ask that on this day, you would save me from me. Hide me, O God, in the shadow of the cross and allow me to preach your word unafraid and unashamed. This is my prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. The prevailing woman. The prevailing woman. By definition, to prevail is to be greater in strength or influence or to triumph. Another definition that caught my attention was to be or to become effective. Those are the words of my friend Mr. Webster, but for many of us today, a prevailing individual is someone who has something on the inside that pushes them beyond what is expected or anticipated from the world. On this day, when we pause to offer special appreciation to mothers and mother figures, to women who birthed and nurtured children, and to women who birthed and nurtured communities, I'm led to remember the prevailing woman who shaped my life without me even knowing it in the beginning. Please allow me to tell her story. You hear me use a lot of the sayings that she used around me, so I'm just going to do a brief overview. This woman graduated from Howard University in 1921 with a teaching degree. She, along with her husband, a graduate of Southern University, taught school-age children in the city of Shreveport, Louisiana, and although life was hard for them, they prevailed. They prevailed. However, there was a problem, and the problem was that this woman wanted to give birth and to raise children, but there was no way that she was going to bring any child into the world in the segregated racist South of the 1920s. So, this woman and her husband moved to White Plains, New York, to birth and raise babies. This couple, at the insistence of the woman, packed their bags, believing that life would be better in the North. They left family and friends to move to a city that they had seen on a map and heard in conversation. Once this couple arrived in White Plains, surprise, surprise, they were informed they would not be allowed to teach anyone's child. This college-educated woman took a job as a seamstress, while her college-educated husband worked as a chauffeur, and they became the parents of five children. Life was hard for them, but they prevailed. They prevailed. Over the next 50 years, this woman brought her sick mother to White Plains and cared for her, convinced two sisters and a brother to migrate north, took care of her husband who had suffered a stroke and was bedridden the last 20 years of his life, took care of one of her sons whose leg had been amputated, raised her children, and yes, her children's children, worked full-time as a seamstress while also running a newsstand at the White Plains train station, and was very active in her church. Life was hard for this woman. But until the day she died in 1979, she prevailed. My grandmother was the strongest, most influential individual female or male that I have ever known. This woman was 5 feet tall in heels and weighed 105 pounds, soaking wet and carrying two 10-pound dumbbells. She hardly ever raised her voice, and I never heard her utter one curse word. Now, when I got older and joined the Navy, I made up for that. But when she opened her mouth, everyone stopped whatever they were doing to listen to what came from her. I'm talking about burning bush action here. And as I read today's text, I kept thinking, what was it about my grandmother that made her so strong? I mean, why did I see people who were not her blood, who did not share her DNA, treat her like royalty? Church, there's something my grandmother possessed deep, deep, deep within her that would not allow her to not give her best. This was something that kept her going when the going was rough. This was something that kept her moving when most other people might have stopped. This was something that allowed her to prevail even in the face of defeat. Our Mother's Day word from God today is that we are living these days in serious need of some prevailing women. Some prevailing women. We are living in a world where far too many younger women identify as rubbish, forgetting that God has already ordained them as royalty. We are living in a world where far too many young women, men, boys, and girls feel no shame calling and treating their woman, their mother, their grandmother like everything except a child of God. We need some prevailing women. If it's true that women are the backbone of the church, and I do believe it, then it's time for the church to find her backbone and start flexing. If it's true that women are gifted enough to run a business and run a home, it's time for our women to retake their thrones. We need some motivated, inspired, prevailing women wise enough to recognize the truth, to teach the truth, and yes, to live truthfully. We need some prevailing women. The question is, what is that special something that allows a woman, a man, a person to prevail? Let's see, shall we? Today's passage of scripture provides us with Paul's initial venture into this Macedonian town of Philippi. After Paul and his traveling companions had been in town a few days, they went looking for a place to pray. They went looking for a house of prayer. Here's a teaching point. There was no church or synagogue within the city walls because there were not 10 Jewish men committed to forming a faith community. Did you hear what I said? There were not 10 Jewish men committed to forming a faith community. I'm not bashing an opposite sex here, but the fact is sometimes we cannot wait on our spouse or our partner to come to Jesus. Today, some families are breaking up because queens are waiting on kings to remember your royalty. Got quiet. Let me move over here. Some families are in crisis right now because the queen has kissed too many frogs who talked like a king and walked like a king, but still were covered in warts. Is there a prevailing woman in the house? Let me get back to the story. Wow, this is going to be a rough one. Paul and his companions find what they assume is a place of prayer. And in this place of prayer are a group of women. Now, Paul sits down and he begins speaking to this group of women. And the women heard what Paul was saying because the scriptures tell us that one named Lydia was listening. Now, before I get to this listening Lydia, it's important to get to know this woman. Lydia is from a town recognized for their commerce because Lydia is a dealer in purple cloth, she's probably well-to-do and accustomed to interacting with the higher-ups of society. Because we do not hear about a husband, Lydia is possibly a widow, and thusly the head of her household. Now, to the outside, Lydia has everything that she needs in life. Lydia is successful, she's independent, she's wealthy, and she's not defined by who she married. If Lydia were around today, she might own an apartment in the Silk Stocking District of Manhattan and a summer cottage in the Hamptons. If Lydia were around today, she might trade in her Bugatti Chiron on an annual basis for the newest model. Those things run $3 million. If Lydia were around today, she might be someone that people look to for advice. You know, has her own talk show, her own production company, her own magazine, her own line of jewelry, her own perfume, and her own network. If Lydia were around today, the casual observer might assume that Lydia is a prevailing woman. However, Lydia is missing something. Our lesson tells us that she is a worshiper of God, and here we have another teaching moment. Lydia was a Gentile worshiping a Jewish God. There was no Jesus involved in this picture. There was no concept of being redeemed by the blood of Jesus, and there was no thought of a Messiah who came and died for her sins. What I'm saying is that Lydia was worshiping a God with whom she does not have an intimate or even superficial relationship. And the truth is that there are some Lydias today doing the same thing. I'm talking about saints who support the church, serving in leadership and working in ministries and offering opening and closing prayers and singing in choirs and giving their offerings, even preaching in pulpits, yet have no idea why. I'm talking about saints who go through the motions with no emotions. I'm talking about saints who do not have a personal relationship with Jesus. I'm talking about saints disconnected from the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about saints who, to the casual observer, seem to be prevailing, but in reality are just sailing. I thought about Christopher Cross. Some might wonder, what is the criteria for this type of an individual? Now, allow me to offer a few suggestions to help you discern where you might fall in this. If attitudes are dependent on platitudes, we're going through the motions. If our mouth says one thing and our actions another, we are going through the motions. If our comforting words are only reserved for certain people that we like that day, then we are going through the motions. If our mind is being utilized to tear down, pull down, or run down someone else, then we are going through the motions. If we say we will, knowing that we won't, we're going through the motions. Is there a prevailing woman in the house? No church. Lydia was missing something. We know this because when Paul begins to speak, the scriptures tell us that the Lord opened her heart or her mind to listen eagerly. We don't know exactly what Paul said, but based on the numerous times that the Bible mentions Paul and the words of Paul, I think it's safe to assume that he may have shared the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Someone listening today needs to know that true worship is not just what we do, but rather how we do it. True worship takes place when our attitude is one of gratitude. True worship takes place when our hearts and our minds are set to receive something good and holy. I'm talking about something that's going to carry us through the tribulations and the trials of the upcoming week. I'm talking about something that's going to give us hope in hopeless situations. I'm talking about something that's going to bring us safely through the storms. Is there a prevailing woman in the house? Do you know that when the word of God goes out, the promise is that it will not return empty. I can see it now. The Holy Spirit begins to move in Lydia and tear down the walls around her heart. The Holy Spirit begins to take root in Lydia and opens her up to a mind-changing, heart-changing, soul-stirring, life-changing word from the Lord. Is there a prevailing woman in the house? Do you know that when the word of God, that the word of God will melt away all of the mess going on in our life and turn us into a new creature? That's the promise. Do you know that the word of God will clean up all of our dirt and change us? I'm talking about opening up and getting a new walk. I'm talking about opening up and gaining that new talk. I'm talking about opening up and having prayer placed in our heart and praise placed on our lips. I'm talking about being able to say, I don't know how and I don't know why, but there is a God. I'm not going to start preaching yet. Something happened to Lydia that changed her forever. Lydia transitioned from going through the motions to discovering the emotion behind her motion. Lydia graduated to a new understanding of success, and Lydia becomes that prevailing woman. How do we know this? As I close, don't y'all hate it when preachers say, I'm about to close? I'm sorry, I come from a tradition when I hear I'm about to close, I just go ahead and set my watch for another 15 minutes, but I'm not gonna take that long. As I close, we hear that after Lydia's heart has been opened, that she and her entire household are baptized. How do we know this? We hear that after Lydia's heart has been opened, she prevails on Paul and his companions to come and stay in her home. How do we know this? A little later on, a church is going to be planted or started up in Lydia's house. Lydia's heart was opened, and she became a prevailing woman. Lydia's heart was opened, and her faith covered her family. Lydia's heart was opened and she became a hospitable host. Lydia's heart was opened and she becomes a leader in the church that Paul always loved. Someone hearing this today needs to know that when the Holy Spirit opens your heart, you will transition into a new creature of faith. When the Holy Spirit opens your heart, you will move from fear to faith. When the Holy Spirit opens your heart, you'll know that you are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. When the Holy Spirit opens your heart, you can walk through divorce. When the Holy Spirit opens your heart, you can walk away from abuse. When the Holy Spirit opens your heart, you won't settle for less than the absolute best. When the Holy Spirit opens your heart, you will know that the world did not make you and the world cannot break you. When the Holy Spirit opens your heart, you will know that you are covered and your loved ones are covered and everybody that you encounter is covered just because there may be someone listening today who's ready to move from fear to faith. There may be someone listening today who's stuck in a rut and needing a fresh start. There may be someone listening today who's fed up with settling for second best and you're ready to retake your rightful place in your home and in your community and in your life. If you're there, I invite you to allow the Holy Spirit to open your heart. If you're ready for something good and holy, open up and become a prevailing saint. Open up and learn how to hold on to someone who will be with you in good times and bad. Hold on and trust that God won't give you more than you can bear. Hold on and realize that you are not trash. You are treasured in the eyes of God. Open up and claim Jesus, and with God's help, you too will prevail. Are you ready? I mean, really ready? To all I offer, shalom. and amen.
Thanks for spending time with us. We hope today's message brought peace and inspiration to your week. To learn more about Park Avenue United Methodist Church, visit us online at paumcnyc.org.